Welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing a series of messages entitled Running the Race. This sermon is titled Running the Race with Needed Encouragement and is based on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 through chapter 12, verse 2. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 30, this is God's holy and inspired word. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God. What is your response to his word? Amen. Dear people of God, we learn this morning that it is the Lord alone who can equip you to pursue him all the way to the end. And we learn that he gives to his blood-bought people feet to run with patient endurance the race which is set before them. Feet to run the race set before you with patient endurance. The question came to you and me this morning. Are you running the race or are you sitting in the bleachers? Are you trusting the one who has established and appointed your course for you? Or are you questioning constantly his wisdom? Are you running in circles or are you running with patient endurance all the way to the end, all the way to the final embrace of Jesus at the finish line? The Lord equips his people to actively pursue him all the way to the end. And he gives to you feet, feet to run a race. But he also gives ears, he gives hands, and he gives eyes. And this evening, we're going to focus on the truth that God equips you, his people, with ears. Ears to hear needed encouragement as you run the race which he has set before you. Who here tonight needs encouragement in the race which is set before you? Well, it is the Lord who gives you ears to hear needed encouragement. There are those who have something to say to us as we run. Who are they? Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Here are the ones that have something to say to you, something to say to me, as we run the race which God has set before us. The cloud of witnesses. Who are these ones? Well, they are the runners whom we meet in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. These ones include Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. These ones have run their race. And these ones have run it all the way to the end. And they have come to the finish line. These ones have patiently endured all the way to the end. But how have they done it? What is the repeated refrain of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, these ones, this great cloud of witnesses, these ones have patiently endured all the way to the end by faith, meaning that they were only able to patiently endure all the way to the end by focusing upon the object of their faith. Even the Lord God Almighty and His promise to provide a Redeemer, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. That is how these ones made it to the end. They focused upon Almighty God who promised, who was faithful, and who ever remains faithful to all who look to Him in trusting, confident faith. And this, then, is the cloud of witnesses which have something to say to you and me tonight, if we have ears to hear. Well, God gives ears to hear. He gives ears to hear to His people so that you might hear needed encouragement. We might ask, where are these ones? Where are these ones, this great cloud of witnesses? Again, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is set before us. Where are they? The verse says, we are surrounded by them. What's the picture which God is painting for you in this passage? The picture is that of the stadium. The picture is that of the stadium where there are ones in the seats of the stadium. They are surrounding us as we are running the race which God sets before us, looking unto Jesus. And so these ones have already finished their race. And as it were, as they crossed the finish line, they exited the field and they were escorted up into the seats, into the stadium, to surround us as a great cloud of witnesses. Now, we can read in Scripture, in fact, in this chapter later on, that these are the ones who have arrived at Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. These are the spirits of just men made perfect, who are now with Jesus in glory, awaiting the final resurrection of their bodies on the last day. These are the ones who know that they will not experience that resurrection day without you. And so they, as it were, have a vested interest in you running your race. They want to encourage you to make it all the way to the end. They have a word of encouragement for you to keep on keeping on in the race which God sets before you. And God gives you ears to hear what they have to say. So, we've seen who these ones are. These are the ones who have already run their race in chapter 11. We see where they are, that they are in the stadium, as it were, surrounding us as each one of us runs the race which is set before us. But we need to ask, what do they say? What do they have to say to you, to me? After all, they are called what? Witnesses. What do witnesses do? They speak and they testify. They speak and they testify the truth. And here, God gives you ears to hear what these witnesses have to say. They're not silent spectators. They are witnesses who have something to testify to you. Let me suggest five things which they testify to you tonight to encourage you as you run the race which God has set before you. First of all, they testify that your God is faithful. They testify to you that your God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is the I Am, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is God faithful to reward those who diligently seek him? Not that we purchase this reward. The reward is of pure grace purchased by another, by the preeminent runner who has run his race all the way to Calvary's cross for us. But we have a promise from God here that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. Is God faithful? These witnesses say yes. Absolutely. They have found him to be completely faithful. And they tell to you that your God is trustworthy. He can be trusted when he says that he will reward you who diligently seek him, who actively pursue the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the end, being empowered by the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your God is faithful. Do you need to hear that tonight? The world would tell you God is a joke, that God cannot be trusted, that he's a figment of your imagination. These witnesses know better. And the world, which dies in unbelief, it knows better too. These witnesses testify to us that God can be trusted. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Is that your cry tonight? He is the one who does help you, even in your doubts and in your struggles. Secondly, these witnesses, this cloud of witnesses testify to you that it is all worth it. How do they know? They've made it to the finish line. That's how they know. They know absolutely that it is all worth it. All the troubles, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the pains, all the problems, all the costs, all the cares. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. They testify that to you and me loudly and clearly tonight. In fact, they say, it's not worth turning back. It's not worth turning back. It's earlier on in Hebrews chapter 11 that this is made abundantly clear in verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But they didn't. And they didn't lose out. In fact, they testify to you and to me tonight that it's not worth turning back. And they say, keep on keeping on. Persevere. as you lean hard upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives you ears to hear this. They desire now a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A city unlike Merrimack, a city unlike Manchester, a city unlike Nashua, a city unlike Boston or New York City. A heavenly city. A city wherein righteousness dwells. Wherein the King of Righteousness dwells with his people. In joy, rejoicing over the spoils of his work, which he has perfectly completed for all who trust in him. Thirdly, this cloud of witnesses testifies to you tonight, you are not alone. You're not alone. It's a temptation, a very real temptation to say to self, I'm all alone. No one seems to be running with me. No one seems to grasp the magnitude of life and death, of heaven and hell. Others say I should not be so fanatical about my faith. They think I'm overly religious. I seem to be constantly criticized, even sometimes within the church, for the decisions I make for me, for my children, for my recreations, for my use of time, for my entertainments, for my observance and commitment to the Sabbath day, my commitment to God's worship, for my speaking up for Christ, my standing up for the unborn, for my showing compassion to the poor. Sometimes I feel all alone. Do you sometimes feel alone? Or that there are very few who are on the pathway with you? Well, these ones, this great cloud of witnesses, testifies solemnly to you tonight, you're not alone. There is a great innumerable company whom Christ has purchased with his blood, and you are a part of that great company. How do you think Noah felt in his day? We can read in verse 7 of chapter 11 about Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You think Noah felt alone? If you feel alone, look to Noah. Hear what he has to say. It was all worth it. Think about Abraham. In the very next verse, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He had to leave everything behind. His entire family, all of his friends, nobody came with him. And I'm sure that he was tempted at times to feel he was all alone. But he testifies to you today, you're not alone. You are not alone. Think about Moses as he is spared, found in that little ark in the River Nile. And he's taken by the daughter of Pharaoh and is raised up in Pharaoh's courts. It's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 that we read that when Moses came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. You find it hard to turn your back on the temptations of the world, and wonder sometimes if you're all alone and if it's really worth it to give up everything to follow Jesus, no matter what the cost is. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. It's so important that we hear this encouraging testimony tonight. God is faithful. Your God is faithful and can be trusted. It will all be worth it. and you're not alone. Fourthly, this cloud of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses testify to you, listen, that you have so much more than they did. We can romanticize Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith chapter, and we can think, wow, they had so much more than I do. But actually, the exact opposite is true. These ones testify, you have so much more than they did. We already read in verse 13 of chapter 11, these words, having seen the promises afar off. You don't see the promises afar off. You see them enfleshed in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, become man, and having fulfilled all righteousness for you and secured God's pardon for you, His righteous pardon by His finished work on Calvary's cross. All of these ones in Hebrews chapter 11 saw those promises, but at a distance. It was but dark and shrouded by clouds. Oh, the eye of faith peered through the clouds and saw enough, but they did not see what you see. You see so much more than they do. And they testify, consider your privileges. You live on this side of the coming of the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. You come and you live in light of the fulfillment of the promises. And you have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We saw that but dimly in our day. Oh, it was enough. It was enough to press us on and to persevere us on all the way to the end. It was enough for us to trust in the face of discouragement, opposition, trial, and temptation. But you have so much more. You have so much more. What we saw only dimly, you see in the brightness of the noonday sun. You behold Him who ran the race none of us could, and whom we desperately needed to run the race for us. And you have seen Him cross the finish line. Oh, do you see the privilege? The privileges which you have living on this side of the coming of Jesus Christ and the pouring out in fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we are one with our brothers in the Old Testament. We are one with our sisters in the Old Testament. There is one body of the people of God, but we are especially privileged. Do you feel privileged? Sometimes it's a temptation to not feel very privileged at all. But these ones testify to you tonight, and God gives you ears to hear their testimony that it is an intense privilege which you have. You have seen Christ set His face like a flint, and He would not turn to the right hand or to the left until for the joy that was set before Him, He patiently endured the cross, despising the shame, and has indeed been vindicated in His resurrection. He has ascended on high, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to speak on your behalf. We saw that only dimly. And you need to be encouraged tonight that you are a privileged people, a special people. God in His providence has chosen for you to live in the very time frame that you live. The gospel has marched all the way across the world, some 12,000 miles from Jerusalem to Merrimack, New Hampshire, to find you? Yes. Yes. How many lived and died in the old economy in darkness, never having heard the witness of the gospel? And you haven't just heard the witness of a promised gospel. You have heard the witness of a fulfilled gospel. And so these ones testify to you tonight of God the faithful one, that it's all worth it, that you're not alone, that you have so much more than any one of the saints in the old economy. But fifthly and lastly, these ones testify. They testify that you need to listen to him. It's not enough for you to listen to their testimony. You need to listen to him, to Jesus, to Jesus. This is the one whom you need to listen to. He has spoken. Think of the opening verses of the book of Hebrews. How does it begin in Hebrews chapter 1? How does God begin this portion of his word? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Do you hear the privilege? They heard through the prophets. We hear the Son speak. And this theme, like hammer blows, is repeated again and again in the book of Hebrews. We come to chapter 2 in verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. What have we heard? We have heard the voice of Jesus speaking to us peace. We who once were far off, we need to listen to him. It's no wonder that again this theme is driven home in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of the disobedience of those of old. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And particularly the word of God as he has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. And so we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and we come to the end of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. And what is the exhortation? See that you do not refuse him who speaks, not from earth, but who speaks from the right hand of the Father from heaven and speaks to you powerfully now. You need to listen to him. You need to hear his voice. It was the Apostle Peter who, speaking on behalf of the 12, answered Jesus' question in John chapter 6. A question which I'm sure pierced to the heart. Will you also go away? And Peter answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. No wonder the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, as he's speaking about the preaching of the good news of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, says we must hear him if we are going to believe in him and call upon him. We must hear him. We must hear Christ. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, in the context is it's the word of Christ. It's in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul testifies, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles who walk in the futility of their mind, but you have not so learned Christ. Listen. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Not just hearing about him. These ones testify, listen to him. Listen to him, the eternal word of God, as he speaks words of life. Listen to him in faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Listen to him in expectancy. He is the one who shall do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatsoever I can ask or think. Listen to him in confidence. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Listen to him in eagerness. Teach me. Give me understanding. Enliven me according to your word. Listen to him in satisfaction. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 5. It's there that we are introduced to a woman who has suffered for 12 years. It's in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 that we read, now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So many people looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. But she hears about Jesus. She hears about him. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Literally, I shall be saved, rescued. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And what did Jesus say? Who touched me? She had heard about Jesus. She even experienced the infinite, almighty power of Jesus. And now she begins to hear Jesus. Who touched me? The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She laid it out there. She couldn't hide, and she didn't want to. And she hears Jesus speak, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She had heard about Jesus, and now she hears him. Daughter, go in peace. Will you hear him and be satisfied? This is what you need to hear. Oh, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Listen to him. These witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses tell us, don't listen just to us. No, we don't have the words of eternal life. Listen to him. Listen to him. And think with me how the words of Jesus are calculated to meet your every need. Think just of the 7 last words of Christ on Calvary's cross. We went over this in Sunday school with the high schoolers. But hear again the words of Jesus. Hear him as he meets your need, as he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he says, truly I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. As he says to his mother, Behold your son. As he says, under the affliction and judgment of the wrath of God, I thirst, so that you will never have to thirst. As he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you might never be forsaken. As he speaks, it is finished. Will you be encouraged tonight to hear him? Oh yes, this great cloud of witnesses testify to us that God is faithful. This great cloud of witnesses testifies to us that it will all be worth it. This great cloud of witnesses tell us we're not alone. This great cloud of witnesses tells us we are the most privileged of people to live on this side of the coming of Christ and the fullness of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But this great cloud of witnesses, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon tonight, declare to us from the housetops, listen to Jesus, for he has the words of eternal life. Hear him. Do you have ears to hear? God is in the business of giving ears to hear just this needed encouragement for you tonight. And so yes, count the cost. Yes, take up your cross. Yes, follow Jesus all the way to the end. Actively pursue him all the way to the end. But hear what needed encouragement you need tonight. And hear what Jesus says to you even now. He who has ears, he must hear. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that there are so many voices which seek to drown out the needed encouragement which we so desperately need tonight. We live in a world where there is much noise, where things crowd in upon us and seem to crowd out the voice of Jesus. Oh, gracious God, forgive us for not listening more intently to Jesus, but tonight we pray, scatter all those other voices to the wind. And give us a holy silence to be able to hear you, Jesus. Speak to us words of peace, words of hope, words of assurance, words of encouragement. And so we come to you as a people needing your cleansing again. We come, we would confess our sins together tonight. We would even use the prayer which is printed in the bulletin tonight, and we would pray together a prayer of confession, knowing that you know everything about us and knowing that we need you. And so we as your people, your blood-bought people tonight, would confess together, praying out loud. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Am I lying down and are acquainted with all my ways? For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And so I confess my sins to you, O God, for you are intimately acquainted with all my life. You know my sinful thoughts and desires, my sinful motives and intents, my sinful deeds and words. But you also know your Son and his perfect righteousness, which you have made available to us in the gospel. You know that he has made full atonement for all the sins of all his people. So on that basis, we plead with you to forgive our sins, to grant us sweet assurance of the full pardon of your saving grace, and to strengthen us to put off the old life and to put on the new life by faith in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, our only mediator and our all-sufficient Savior. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's First Covenant of 1771, to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.